never rests.
What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Toms. Excuse me. And we are from Dogs HQ, Georgia, Texas. Last show before the showdown in Austin. Palmer and I, we're on the way. We're going to be on the way here in just a second here. We're going to hit the airport and fly out to Austin, spend a little time out there, eat a little barbecue, do all that. Hopefully get a chance to talk about it to a happy group of fans when we come back, because this is a big one for Georgia. It's not a must win. They've still got everything on the table with no margin for error, probably, if they don't win. We're going to get into the matchup, hear from some partners, and more than anything else, just see what Palmer Toms has got to say, because it's always, something. It's something.
It's something, that's for sure. I'm excited, Jake. I know you mentioned this on Bark After Dark Monday, but this is your first road trip of the season. We do have fun traveling together, and Austin has been one that we've been looking forward to for a while. I think this game is one that we've been looking forward to for a while. And, the only way that it could have had any bigger expectations would be if Georgia had knocked off Alabama, but it's still a top five matchup, and there's college football playoff implications. There's SEC title implications. And like you said, it's a, one that they say the eyes of Texas are upon us. The eyes of the nation are upon Texas this Saturday. And so excited for it.
It's crazy how much differently we would be looking at all of this had Georgia been able to pull out that comeback against Alabama.
Is it a bigger game because Georgia has a loss already?
I don't think so. I really don't. Listen, man, I think this college football season is teaching us that, you're in the fight until you're not, and I think that's part of it. It's a big game because it's a top five game. It's one that we've had circled for a long time. I'll tell you this though, it doesn't feel as big as Alabama felt. That the build up to that, dude, they had like a special Dave Matthews song on like ESPN to play all of that coming in. It was very creepy sounding, and it was just kind of a little whiny song, and it kind of fit the mood of it, of kind of these two lumbering, programs, these two giants coming at each other and heavyweight battle and all that stuff. I mean, it fit, but I don't know. The buildup just seems so much different. And I honestly think it's because Texas is so confident, and I can't blame them for it. I can't blame them for it at all. Like, I haven't really gone over to look at their board, but they have brought, we've had some fans, some folks over at Dogs HQ bring those posts over to ours, just kind of show, and they seem really confident. And I can't sit there and argue with them about why they feel confident or anything like that. But man, listen, I know I've watched this fan base. I've watched this Georgia fan base do this about big games. And they've won a lot of them, but I've watched them do this about big games, like Ohio State and the Peach Bowl was one, and quite a few others. But they're just really confident, and humility's a week away in the SEC. And you wonder if that moment may be coming for Texas.
Yeah, and I can speak to it a little bit, having spent a little bit of time on their message board, did a little bit of a crossover Q&A, and Joe Cook was great to come over to our site and do that. And we've got a Q&A up with him of questions that I had for him. And, they had some questions for me. And, yeah, I think you're right. This Texas fan base is confident. I do think that there is a lot of respect for what Georgia has accomplished. And I think that they are Texas fans are confident because of what they've accomplished this year and because of the opportunity that's there for them. To me, they kind of, it seems like they see this game as a, win-win of, hey, if we win this game, or a no-lose situation, let's put it that way, that if they win this game, they're still the number one team, but they've also solidified themselves as the top dog in the SEC, and they took down the program that's won two of the last three titles, and that Kirby Smart's considered the top coach in the sport, and that Steve Sarkisian has a win over him. And you know, on down the line of things. And so, you know, I think that this being in their backyard, that they have some right to be confident. And I think that, you know, there's a way to go into this from their perspective of it being a no-lose situation versus, I think, you know, speaking from our board, it's not necessarily that. There is a little bit of nerves to it of like, well, if we lose, you know, we've got our backs against the wall. And, yep. And you're right. They're not done. Georgia's not done if they lose this game. I would project them in the playoffs as probably hosting a playoff game in Athens, and that would be an incredible environment at 10-2. And but there's no room for error if you lose this game. And
yeah.
I think that the nerves are there for Georgia fans versus Texas being undefeated, them being the top ranked team, them being the favorite. There's some reason for, you know, to be able to come in and just take a deep breath and understand that, you know, they'll be fine regardless of how this game plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And because of that, it almost makes you think, and listen, I want people to understand, like, I'm not the kind of person that I see this happen a lot when you see commentary on specific teams and stuff, is like, it's almost like they're trying to figure out a way to win. You know, like it's almost like you've got fans or people who cover the team that are also fans, and they're trying to figure out a way for their team to win. Like they're trying to scheme it up themselves. And I'm not really trying to do that here when I say this, but that kind of reminds me of the situation that Georgia's been in the SEC championship game, especially, you know, the 2021 SEC championship game. That was a crappy night, and folks were kind of, you know, pissed off, and they were fired up at Stetson. You know, we can say our own things about, you know, the difference between what happened between Mike Bobo and happened between, you know, Todd Monken that night and all of that stuff, and the different, you know, scoreless stretches and how similar it was, and how the difference between those two teams is just basically the year, as far as like, you know, what they got a chance to do. But, you know, there was kind of that same feeling, that no lose feeling, like we're in, you know, and Texas is still, I mean, Texas is still very much in front of everything that it wants to do, you know, if it loses to Georgia on Saturday. And listen, I don't expect that to permeate there. I expect them to be really fired up. I'm more interested in their injury situation, Palmer. And, you know, I may be going out of order here. I'm not exactly sure. I think I had the wrong one pulled up here as far as my rundown. But I think injuries are a big part of what we're doing here with the matchup and how this is going to go. And I say that because, you know, I'm more interested in the Texas side than the Georgia side right now. Isaiah Bond is a very big deal. And questionable Isaiah Bond in the middle, you know, of Wednesday, if that's actually true, if that's legit, and I've got no reason to believe it's not, that bodes kind of well for Georgia. That to me helps Georgia match up because he's a very explosive player. And there are a lot of things about this that I like about the matchup for Georgia, but that one right there I think is very key in this football game.
Well, and we've seen it from a Georgia perspective of just how tough those ankle injuries can be, and you know, how they can linger and you land on it, you know, take one wrong step and you're done for the game. You know, you can come into a game questionable and you know, end up taking the field and be knocked out pretty quickly with one of those ankle injuries. And so,
yeah, it's one of those jump balls or catching a drag route across the middle and getting tackled. You know, it's every time you go to the ground, you're just kind of like, you know,
nobody touch it, you know, type deal. And
did you tweak it?
You know, Georgia's dealt with it with Ladd McConkey, with Brock Bowers, with A.D. Mitchell.
The Ladd injury is in my head as I think about that Bond injury, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
Just because Ladd didn't have a high ankle sprain, from what we understand, from pretty much what I understand, is there's more of a traditional ankle sprain. He just couldn't shake it. And, you know, when you start thinking about, okay, is a player, is he himself? Like, is he the same dude? You know, I kind of look at them as kind of similar players, and they're very fast. They're not very big. I think Bond's a little bit smaller than he is, but, and probably a little bit faster. Ladd kind of more of a, you know, run after catch type guy. But I just, that's the, I don't know how serious it is, but if he's questionable in the middle of the week, you just kind of wonder, like, what is Georgia going to be up against with that specific weapon? And listen, they got Ryan Wingo, who is a freak, as absolute freak. Georgia wanted him badly. Big recruiting win there for Texas. I eventually beat Missouri for him, but Georgia was very much in that for a little bit early on. Missouri and Tennessee, I believe, were very heavily involved. But he's been really good for them. And, you know, Texas has got a really good pass game overall. But I fully expect Bond to play, but you wonder if he's able to be quite vintage, dangerous Isaiah Bond.
And that's a dangerous Isaiah Bond that Georgia knows. I mean, having gone up against him in the SEC championship, yeah, certainly interesting. But like you said, I think Texas also has, you know, some other pieces that it can rely on. You know, as you look at Texas's receiving room, they've got seven different guys that have over 100 yards, you know, four different guys that have over 200 yards and two different guys that have over 300. Gunnar Helm, you know, heck of a player at that tight end position. Kirby had some really incredible comments about him.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew Golden, a transfer that they brought in this offseason. Jontae Cook, another talented high school recruit that they were able to bring in a year ahead of Wingo. And, you know, there's a lot to like about this Texas receiver room. And it's going to be, you know, as we talk about matchups for that we're going to be watching, that's one right there is how is Georgia's defensive back secondary going to handle, you know, going up against this elite pass catching group?
You know, Palmer, I've thought about that all week long, and as hard as I've tried to look at it, and you know, it's tough to see on TV copy and stuff like that, like All 22, and I'm not trying to be like a, you know, apparently it's not in vogue to be a film guy, you know, and I didn't mean to use those specific words. I actually talked to Brooks Austin about that last night, but apparently it's not in vogue to be a football guru these days, you know. Apparently folks get defensive about all that stuff. But I thought that, you know, from looking at it, I just couldn't make myself get super concerned with Georgia's defensive backs.
Why is that? Because, I mean,
and I think a lot of coaches, if you got them to talk about it, a lot of receivers, quarterbacks, coaches, if you got them all in like a room, if you took like young guys, old guys, and they just got them to chop it up about football, and they talked about those 50-50 balls. I think most of them would kind of tell you, hey, man, sometimes it's kind of like, do you put it in the air and does it come down at the right time? You know, and you know, like that Julian Humphrey thing, like if Jalen Milroe throws that ball a little flatter, a little further in the air, there's a different thing that happens there, you know, and it's sometimes it's just kind of luck of the draw. It's like that Carson Beck back shoulder throw against Colby Young that ended up in the interception as an interception. Like you're leading a target while also trying to throw it behind him, and you put it in basically a box that where it could have been picked off. And it's just there's a lot it's luck.
It's not super repeatable for a team to say, hey, look at how Mississippi State did that.
That's a really good point, Palmer. That is a fantastic point. I think that's probably what plays into that is like it's hard to repeat that and do that over and over and over again. I mean, listen, Alabama did it 3-for-3 times against Georgia. One of them got popped up in the air 3 or 4 times before it got caught. Okay. So, you know, and then another one was, you know, Julian Humphrey kind of lost the guy inside on the opening drive. He kind of jumped inside and he found the ball and Humphrey didn't. Listen, Georgia's got to do a better job. I'm not saying they're playing those things great and these teams are getting lucky, but I do think that's a little bit of a factor. And, you know, Georgia, you look at last week, two of those throws were absolutely perfect. If teams are going to make perfect throws against you in coverage, what? You know, like, I mean, it is what it is. If you got good players and you make perfect throws, you're going to win a lot. I mean, Georgia fans expect their wide receivers and their quarterback to make those things happen and for it not to be defendable. So that's kind of how it works. And so I look at it and I see a bunch of guys in position. And I think that if they get their eye discipline right, and that's, I think it's all under their control, that if they play with discipline, they play with good eye discipline, that they're going to be just fine. They're going to be in position to make plays, and they're going to make some.
But let me ask you this, Jake. What does this Georgia secondary do well? Because in, you know, in Kirby talking about it after the Mississippi State game, he says, you know, hey, the way that we play defense, we really don't want to give up anything underneath. And so we really take that away, and it becomes a situation where, and I understand this approach where you say, hey, we're going up against a true freshman quarterback. We're going to make him make the throws downfield. And, you know, credit to him, he did make them, but those are not easy throws to make. So they give that up. But then against Alabama, they don't necessarily play that underneath stuff quite as well. They are more willing to give that up against them, you know, and they want to play off a little bit and make sure that they don't get beat deep, but they get torched underneath. So what is it that this Georgia secondary does well?
Well, I mean, I think number one, they compete. You know, you from struggling early to coming back against Alabama to grinding it out against Kentucky to even the Mississippi State game, the long play that they got completed where Daniel Harris kind of violated there with his eyes. He ran the guy down and they got him on the ground and gave themselves a chance to get right back in it. I mean, they actually were in a great position to hold them to a field goal before Dalen Everett, you know, violated. So, and I think the last two games, Palmer, they're tackling really well. It has definitely gotten a lot better. They went from, I think, two straight games against Alabama and Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, dozen to 15 missed tackles in those games. Past two games, I think they've missed 9 combined. So that's kind of more what you're looking for there. But no, I think you're right. And Palmer, I think we're going to see Ellis Robinson. And I told Rusty this a couple weeks ago. We were on the phone, and I think we might have even mentioned it in Dogs HQ Plus. I told him, I said, you know, it's one of those things where when you got this cornerback situation, if you really do believe those guys are tight in terms of how they're practicing, you're kind of in a situation where you give Julian Humphrey and Daniel Harris, especially if they're a little bit more game tested, every opportunity to take that job and run with it. And they haven't. And then, you know, it's funny, you know, kind of had a report there where we had talked to some guys at practice and, you know, Ellis Robinson was kind of standing out. And then Kirby Smart says what he said after the game. I'm interested to see if he was blowing smoke about Ellis Robinson playing against a more conventional offense as opposed to those wide split, you know, Art Briles, you know, Josh Heupel type thing that Jeff Lebby uses. Because this week's the week, and there is something about number one on defense that when the ball's in the air, it's like he's a motion sensing camera. It's like that head's
– Yeah, I know what you're saying there.
It's there. And, you know, some guys kind of – I don't know, man. You watch some of the best that's ever done it, and you know, I'm not saying he's going to be this good or anything, but like Aqib Talib and Champ Bailey and you know, Sean Springs – you watch film of those guys kind of playing man coverage with their eyes in the backfield and doing both at the same time. And, you know, you kind of get that natural type of talent to play the position vibes from Ellis Robinson.
You just said he's an NFL Hall of Famer, Jake.
That's what I said. No, I mean, would you bet against it at this point? You know?
No, I mean, I'm with you. I'm very interested to see. And
you didn't even answer me. We've got awkward. We've got awkward video time here, so we got to fix this. What do you think? I mean, Ellis Robinson, gold jacket or no?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. Consider me a doubter. Hey. No, but on along the lines of Ellis,
I'm gonna get this to Ellis's people.
Okay. Hey, if I'm the motivation that drives Ellis Robinson to an NFL.
Dude, what if he gets drafted like top 5 in the NFL draft one day and he's like, hey, that Palmer Toms dude, I'm coming for that gold jacket.
I hope he does. I hope he does. No, but I am with you on Ellis and just I found it very interesting. You know, and this is maybe reading too much into what Kirby says and you know, picking apart his words and trying to take too much meaning into him, but told us that Anthony Evans had 2 really good weeks of practice and that 2 weeks of practice there resulted in more playing time for him. Kirby said that these have been the last two weeks have been Ellis's best 2 weeks. Yes, very yeah. Interesting. And then on Tuesday, another Ellis Robinson talk, he says, you know, we've got to find more ways to get him involved, to get him out there. is that what he's been, you know, is that along the same lines of what he's been saying about Nate Frazier, or is it along the lines of Anthony Evans? That's kind of where I'm at. Is Georgia going to find a way to get a really talented player on the field this Saturday? I don't know. I'm very interested to see it. And that's, you know, we're going to get into it. That's probably one of the things that I'm watching the most.
Well, I do think there is a clear difference with the Nate Frazier and this talk. And that's the fact that we had intel that suggested where exactly Nate Frazier was struggling. And that was with ball security. And listen, I've gone on diatribes about this before. I'm not going to do it again. You know, he wasn't playing because he wasn't protecting the ball in practice, and he wasn't, you know, had pass protection issues on top of that. Didn't play against Alabama largely. Go ahead.
But I mean, Kirby tells us that Ellis has busted coverages and that there are times that he's completely just messing up. And, you know,
I'm sure Nate Frazier probably busts runs or routes too. There, I mean, listen, there's one thing you don't do if you're a running back, and that's put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, like you're right. That's right. That's just different than anything else. Like
I just have a little bit of hesitation counting on a true freshman corner to get out there because, like Kirby said, defensive line, they mess up. Linebackers are there to make it right. Linebacker messes up. You got the safeties there. If a corner messes up, especially against a receiving group like this, you're going to know it. Now, Georgia's corners have been messing up a little bit anyway. So whether it's Julian Humphrey or Daniel Harris or Dalen Everett or Ellis Robinson, it may not matter. Throw the youngster out there and let him, you know, learn as he's thrown into the fire. That is probably the one thing that I am watching the most for Georgia's defense this weekend is how does that secondary approach its pass defense, and specifically does Ellis Robinson get involved in it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where you develop this attitude where you're just coming at me all the time, like just disagreeing with everything I say.
I developed it. I've done that since day one with you,
Dave. I see your point for sure, and I just think it's very, very different when you know you talk to coaches, whether it's high school coaches, whether it's college coaches. You know, I've gotten to know quite a few over the years, and you just talk ball with them, and you hear them talk about like games and stuff. And man, fumbles are I've heard coaches talk about like, you know, fumbling in games, and I swear I think they would probably have less hurt in their voice if they were talking about a time they got shot in a hunting incident or something like that. Like it's, I mean, they're so detrimental because the ball comes down right there. You don't even get any field position out of it. It's awful. And I know that's why Nate Frazier wasn't playing. And Ellis Robinson, I think they understand that mistakes are probably going to get made back there time and time again. And a lot of times the mistakes get made that you end up, you know, living by, that you don't even pay for, that don't even get seen. But I think that, you know, you put a couple good weeks of practice together and you compare it and you pair that with the fact that neither 12 nor number 7 have taken that job and ran with it. And listen, 6 isn't playing great either. Dalen Everett's not playing great either. So I do think that he's doing a better job of keeping it in front outside of that violation they had, but that was also on Malachi Starks. The thing I'm really interested in the secondary is Malachi Starks going to play a lot of star in this game? Because I do believe he gives Georgia a chance to match up. And listen, that puts KJ Bolden at safety. Do you want to go with another true freshman out there? It's also a kind of a ripple effect. These guys get paid to make big decisions like that.
Hey, Jake, you know one thing that we're not going to disagree on?
What's that?
How awesome Prize Picks is.
Okay, I thought you were about to say our actual Prize Picks because I probably disagree on all of them.
Jake, you want to tell us about Prize Picks?
Prize Picks is skill-based. It is daily fantasy. You can Major League Baseball, NHL, you got NASCAR. NBA is coming up this week, and we've got a play for you on that one with a little Georgia flavor to it. Man, it is so much fun, Palmer. It is one of the coolest things, I think, that has come out of you know, this world of kind of fantasy and apps and this electronic age of being able to follow the sport. Because listen, it's simple, over or under. They give you a number, whether it's yards, whether it's the longest reception. I mean, there's all sorts of little props you're dealing with here. and there are all sorts of little parameters. And here you go. You pick over or you pick under, and that's all you got to do. You can be, some of them allow you to be a little bit more aggressive. Some of them allow you to be a little bit more lenient, and you can multiply your money a bunch of different ways. You can put together 3-4 picks. And Palmer, there's also the power play. Tell them how that works.
Yeah, so we did a power play last week. The power play is you got, excuse me, we did a flex play last week.
Flex play, that's what it is, flex play.
Yeah, the power play is just a straight up, you got to hit them all. You pick four, you got to hit four. The flex play gives you a little bit more of leeway there, where if you decrease your ultimate total possible payout with four, you know, if you pick four and you hit four, you're not going to get paid the full 12 and a half times that you would on the power play, just 8 times there, but you give yourself a mulligan of sorts. Jake, we're both golfers and we know how important those can be.
Oh boy.
But we're going to go with a power play this week, Jake. And like you said, we've got some Georgia flair here. Quinn Ewers against this Georgia secondary. We were just talking about that.
Bounce back, baby. Bounce back.
255 and a half passing yards. Quinn's coming off of injury. Who says he's going to play this whole game? Arch Manning, you know, Georgia and its history against backup quarterbacks. Maybe Arch Manning comes off the bench and saves the day for the Texas Longhorns. I'm going less on 255 and a half there.
Arian Let's just Smith, say he comes off. Hey, listen, come on now. Quit playing with our audience's emotions. Let's say he comes off the bench and he comes up just short of a win against Georgia. Okay.
Yeah, that's
there
fair.
We go. Now we're there. That sounds like a better scenario.
Arian Smith, you know, talk about a good scenario. I think Arian Smith bounces back with a really good game. You know, he had a good one last week against Mississippi State. Not so great against Alabama. You know, ended up being pretty good statistically speaking, and that's all that matters for Prize Picks. But I think he's going to bounce back and you know, make those drops a thing of the past.
He's my man. Arian Smith's going to drop passes, but that's going to happen. It's had him. Pro Football Focus did him dirty last week, though. They gave him two that shouldn't have been drops. But anyway.
But I've got him getting into the end zone.
Yeah, Trevor, I hear you. I hear you, and I like it. But listen, this is a guy that's leading Georgia in yards per target, and he's top 10 in the SEC in pretty much every big category. So he's having a good season. On with the chlorophyll, Palmer.
Trevor Etienne, 17 and a half for his longest rush. He's only done that in 2 games this year. We're taking less there. And then for our NBA.
I want to just go ahead and voice my displeasure with that one. I think Trevor Etienne is going to have a long one in this one.
To each their own. Hey, Jake, you can make your own play.
I will make my own play.
You can do the Fade Palmer play. But the one thing that you should do, if you want to do a Fade Palmer play, make sure you include Anthony Edwards in there. They've got a promo running for – a point. Does he score a single point on Tuesday night in the T-Wolves opener against the Lakers there? Feel really good about
it. They only let you pick more on that, right? They won't let you pick
only under. Let you pick more.
Yeah.
Only let you pick more. That's good. So we are putting that play in. $40 to win $500, Jake.
We like it. We like it.
All right. So yeah. We did run into a little bit of trouble there. You can only play up to 25 with the discount there for Anthony Edwards. But we're going 25 to win 312. I think that's what it just came out to be. And you know, Prize Picks. Use promo code DOGS for $50 on your first play of $5. You play $5. Whether that wins or loses, you get $50 using promo code DOGS, DAWGS, on your first play. Really fun way to stay involved in all your favorite sports. And, you know, you can fade Palmer. You can follow Palmer. I don't know which is the best way to go. we've been really close. We've been like hitting 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. So both of those ways wouldn't work, but, either way, you're going to have fun. Prize Picks. Use promo code DOGS, DAWGS.
All right, this next segment's got footprints all over it because I stepped on it going into Prize Picks. But what we're watching, and I am watching, like I said, Malachi Starks. Where does he play? Is he going to be at star in this game where Georgia is facing kind of a more conventional Cade Klubnik style. You know, I know that he played against Clemson there because of necessity. Jonelle Aguero wasn't able to play in week one. But I like Malachi Starks' star in this matchup, and I really wonder if Georgia uses him to match up there, because they've said before, and you don't hear this about Jonelle Aguero or Ja'Cory Thomas, we think he could play corner. Like Kirby says, they think Malachi Starks could play corner for them. And I know he shows up a lot on film. He's around some big plays. And listen, man, when you're asking Malachi Starks to man up with Ryan Williams one-on-one, that you trust that guy a lot. Like you trust him a lot. And he was right there. Didn't make the play. I think Malachi Starks' star and also big game, man. For some reason, I think this is the kind of game where he shows up.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's got a history of showing up in these big games. You know, the opener against Oregon, the opener against Clemson. You know, he's had some good games, and I think that you're right that getting a little bit more of Malachi at you know star could be just what this secondary needs to change things up a little bit. What am I watching? I'm watching the offensive line and the run game, more generally speaking.
It's a good one.
You've got two guys on the interior of the offensive line that are banged up. Two of the first five starters that Georgia had. Both those guys are trending in the right direction, according to the injury report. You've got Tate Ratledge listed as questionable. I don't know that I'm expecting to see him play.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't, but trending in the right direction. Jared Wilson, he is probable. What does Georgia do in the interior there at center? Do they continue rolling with Drew Bobo? Do they bring Jared Wilson back into the mix after missing the last two games? So I'm watching that interior of the offensive line. And then, you know, like I said, generally speaking about the run game, you're also down Branson Robinson. How does Georgia respond to that? I think that we could see more of Nate Frazier. We probably will have to see more of Nate Frazier. He was thrust into that fill-in type role against Clemson and did really well. And I think this is an opportunity. Georgia fans have been begging for it since that Clemson game for more Nate Frazier. You never want to see a guy go down, especially a guy like Branson that battled sure. back from an injury. And we do think that he will be back from this MCL sprain, just how long TBD. You never want to see him go down, and that hurts him. But I think that it could help this Georgia run game in general, getting Nate Frazier more involved, getting the freshmen some touches. And so I am keeping an eye on Georgia, its interior offensive line. How does this group handle a really good group of you know, pass rushers, but also how does the running game work?
You know, I was thinking about that Nate Frazier thing, and I said something on the board after the Colby Young thing went down, and I said sometimes, you know, when you're forced to make changes to your offense because of personnel, whether it's injury or whatever, you end up kind of fortunately being guided into where your offense kind of really needs to be. And then what we saw against Mississippi State was a lot of in cuts and working the middle of the field and hitting guys on the move. And there was run after catch. And there, next thing you know, Georgia's put up 600 total yards of offense. And I know, you know, Mississippi State's not a great defense or anything like that. I wonder if that could be the same effect with Nate Frazier. And I also wonder, Palmer, to get into it a little bit more specifically, will the run game change? You know, will you see different types of runs? Will you see them kind of maybe counter them up or try to widen, you know, run some wide zone stuff? They're going to see some of that from Texas. I wonder if they try to work some of it in themselves and try to throw some run game wrinkles in there that may benefit. I think we're on the same page here as far as like, and everybody should be, that Georgia's got kind of a similar little group of backs there, even when you consider Cash Jones. They're speed guys. They're not necessarily mm-hmm. pounders and guys you want to get downhill behind big linemen and move the pile like Branson Robinson can do, who's also a pretty shifty guy in his own right. But
and you know what? That's probably fine, because I don't know that Georgia's offensive line is best at doing that either.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job of it of late. I feel like Trevor Etienne, especially, and Nate Frazier some, and we went over this in Dogs HQ Plus, I feel like they put the line offensive line in a bind a little bit by not kind of getting downhill and try to bounce some things to the edge. And you know, so I think
and I don't mean to cut you off here, but Lawson Lucky talked about that. You know, from a tight end's perspective, he said, you know, you just never know where he's gonna go, and so you just gotta keep blocking because he can bounce it. So I do see what you're talking about there, where those guys being more of those speed guys as opposed to just the ram it in there and force it in. You know, I think that those guys can make an offensive line's job harder, but also they can make it easier because they can make, you know, those cuts that, hey, if it's not there in the middle because the offensive line, you know, took a play, didn't take a play off, but got beat on a play, they can bounce it outside and make them still look pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. Folks, if you have not checked out NFHS, you got to check it out. The NFHS network is the best network of all high school sports, volleyball, softball, baseball. It doesn't matter. You can see high school sports from around the country using NFHS. I watch it every single Friday night. I watch Lee County Coffee High School, a battle of 6-0 teams, two of the best teams in the state of Georgia, and it lived up to the hype. Brand new Georgia commit, Usmani Chroma, dominated the game, had one of the runs of the year. We put it on Twitter. It was amazing, and NFHS is awesome. Use the promo code DAWGS25, D-A-W-G-S 25, and you can get 25% off your first month. Check them out. Get a little discount on that first month. Give it 1 month. Watch this final little leg of high school football. Georgia commits, Georgia targets. Local schools, you know, I try to pick up on those. There's so much out there to watch. There's so much out there to enjoy. You can see, you know, guys like Taylen Taylor, Georgia's, you know, star wide receiver commit, having a huge senior season. I watched him a couple times on this, and he's shown out both times. It is huge entertainment on Friday night. You can come back and watch it on demand. You can clip stuff out. It's awesome. Promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S 25, and you can get 25% off of that first month. NFHS is awesome.
Jake, that North Atlanta Alpharetta game, I'm pretty sure that's where Jeremy said he was headed to this weekend.
All right, yeah.
To go check out Chase Linton. Chase Linton. Coming off an official visit. So yeah. That's right there for you on NFHS.
Yep, I'll probably check it out for sure. Well, actually, I probably won't because I'll probably be in Austin. We'll probably be out and about.
Yeah, we should be having a good time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, predictions, Palmer. That's
a safe prediction. We're going to have a good time.
We're going to have a good time in Austin. Predictions.
Will the Dawgs.
Yeah, what you got? What you thinking about this one, Palmer? You ain't got to give me a score. I ain't going to make you give me a score.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a score because honestly, you know, I gotta think about just exactly how this happens. But I don't think Georgia's coming out victorious here. And I don't mean to be pessimistic, Palmer, here. This is just a really good Texas team, and it's a really challenging test going on the road to take on the top-ranked team in their home stadium. And at night, I mean, Georgia's three road games so far, and there's a chance that the fourth at Ole Miss ends up being a night game as well. But night at Kentucky, night at Alabama, night at Texas, that's a really tough test. Yeah. You know, I don't know that Georgia fans really understood and appreciated or fully comprehended just how difficult the schedule is coming into the year. And I don't know that you could have until you see some of these teams play. And so I don't see Georgia coming out victorious here. Like we said, I don't think it's the end of Georgia's season. You know, they'll be backs against the wall. But that's not to say that Georgia can't win this game. I think that there absolutely is a path to them winning this game. What that is, I got to figure it out if, you know, if I want to pick it, you know, officially when we put out our staff predictions. But as of right now, I'm going with Texas.
All right. I think folks are right when they talk about this Texas team, like no weaknesses. I definitely can see that. Especially just from the body of work from the first six games. But then that takes me to the next point, and, you know, I don't want to sound like they ain't played nobody, Paul, but Texas hasn't really been pushed really at all. And you know, Rusty made a point of that. He said that earlier, you know, in the week. He said that, you know, this Texas team really hasn't, you know, had to trail or kind of respond from anything like that. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that means you've played great football and you've just beat up on teams. You know, that's kind of what happened to Georgia in 2021. Could this be that Texas team? You know, is that what this Texas team is? Is it a wagon, you know, that goes? I don't yet get that impression, and they could change my mind on Saturday. 100% they could change my mind. I don't get that impression. You know, I look at the numbers and I was just really surprised, and I have I I have let the numbers kind of talk me into some things here. I was just really surprised at how short area Texas's pass game is, and up, you know, near the line of scrimmage. That really surprised me. I thought they'd be more of a downfield team. That was just my perception. I like the matchup here. I really do. I think Texas's defense, if you look at the numbers, Colorado State, UT, was it UT San Antonio?
UTSA, yeah.
Yeah, UTSA, you know, Mississippi State, you know, one-dimensional but talented teams in Michigan and Oklahoma, matching up against that defense. You know, I mean, Oklahoma is one of the worst run and pass offenses in the they did it like you're supposed to do it. They've handled business. Like, I'm not sitting here holding anything against them. But I do think Georgia presents them a different challenge. And I like Georgia in this game, man. And I like it because you made a point when you talked about, have you ever seen Georgia play poorly back-to-back? And boy, did they not answer the bell for that, especially to start that Alabama game. I think Georgia's due to kind of show up in one of these road games. I think that the fact that they've been tested with a couple of them so far will help them kind of respond. And I think, you know, solid game plan, solid execution, and Georgia puts together its best game of the season, leaves Austin with a win.
It's going to be a fun one to watch either way.
Yeah, it is, man. Looking forward to it. Can't wait to get to Austin. We'll have some stuff for you when we get there. Check us out on the socials, Dogs HQ on Twitter, at Dogs HQ, and myself, you know, Jake M. Rowe, Palmer, Aloysius Toms, I believe it is. What is it on Twitter?
Palmer Toms.
Palmer Toms, baby. Palmer's got the you know, kind of that unique name there, so that he doesn't have to worry about having to throw a middle initial in there. Somebody already had just Jake Rowe snatched up because everybody's name's that. But listen, we're excited to get to Austin. We're excited to cover this game. We'll be back with you on the post game Sunday night, all next week, during the bye. Win, lose, or draw, we'll have you covered. Take care.